beginnings, you know, kind of where he grew up. Let's talk about kind of his early life.
Sure. Well, Danny Lewin grew up, you know, like a lot of American teenagers. He was raised in just outside of Denver, Colorado, and had two brothers, and the three of them were in school and playing sports and enjoying life when his father abruptly decided at the age of, when Danny was 14, to move the entire family to Israel. And you can imagine that was a pretty big move, especially for three sort of preteen teenager boys who didn't want to go to Israel and didn't speak any Hebrew or have any friends or family there. But that was their father's decision, and so that sort of began this lifelong relationship with Israel, but also, you know, straddling two worlds and being an American living there.
Mm-hmm. And so actually that ended up, I think, being a big plus for Danny. He wasn't the kind of person to sit around in his room and mope. He had done well in school and in his accomplishments in the United States. And so even though there were some challenges making friends, that didn't stop him from just moving ahead.
That's right. I mean, I think, you know, that teenage move for him could have gone, you know, different directions or teenage moves, you know, and a lot of kids rebel.
Absolutely.
I certainly would have as a teenager. But you're right. There was something innately tough in him. And not just that, but he was sort of born with what his parents called this, like, indomitable spirit of, you know, when I do things, I'm going to do them not just as well as I can, but I'm going to do them better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, and he also grew up in a family that while he was angry that he had to move to Israel, he really loved his parents, and they were excellent role models. They were both doctors and both very smart, and they fostered this intellectual curiosity in their kids. And so, he was moved against his will to Israel, but then, yes, he really turned it into an incredibly positive experience for himself, and I think also really took to the Israeli way of extremely hard work and sort of never sitting around feeling sorry for yourself.
Yes, and of course his huge accomplishment relates to the internet, and I want to go back a little bit to some of the other things he did, but what was his huge accomplishment for the internet?
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, is a story that really very few people know, and yet I firmly believe that his contribution to the internet was, you know, as great as any other big names that you have heard of today when it comes to technology, like a Bill Gates or a Steve Jobs or Jeff Bezos or any of these names. Danny, at a very young age, when he was in his 20s, developed using very high-level math and computer science with his professor at MIT, developed a set of algorithms that sped up the internet. In effect, he created sort of a Pony Express or FedEx from Pony Express for the internet that, you know, back in those days, which were the mid-90s, the internet was so slow. You know, you'd log on and get this beeping and chirping and this interminable wait. And everybody was trying to solve that problem. That was the greatest impediment to the growth of the internet then. And that's what Danny figured out and created a company called Akamai Technologies out of Cambridge, Massachusetts. And he went from struggling graduate student to, you know, kind of overnight billionaire, basically. And but, you know, more importantly to him, he really changed the way people thought about using math to transform the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things I learned from reading the book was how important math is in computer science. Now, I'm not a math person at all, so this is just fascinating, as people who are mathematicians just love it and, you know, understand it, and how their minds, I think, just work differently than those of us who do not understand math.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, I don't understand it either, and that's what was so fun for me in writing this book. I'm a journalist. I was an English major. I took as little math as possible in college to skirt by. But what I love is that for mathematicians, you know, math is, they say, like poetry or art. To them, it's beautiful. And in these numbers that very few of us understand, the kind of computer science and math Danny and his professor Tom Layton used to create these algorithms is so high level and so rarefied that very few people actually understood it. But what they understood was what its potential was if it worked. And that was what they kind of clung to. You know, if these guys really know what they're doing and this math really works, and out of all of these algorithms or recipes, sets of instructions for the software, they can make the internet faster, then we want to buy whatever they have, you mm-hmm. know. And but yeah, I never knew going into this that there was so much math used to tell the internet what to do. You know, I really and so that's what I hoped to explain to anybody, any reader who you know, even somebody with no mathematical background, to understand a little bit how math works when it comes to technology.
And one of the things that I think we all can learn from this, if we don't already know, is that surrounding yourself, making a networking with other people. I mean, Danny didn't sit in a room by himself and do this work. He had the passion to talk to other people and found other people who could work with him.
Absolutely. And that was one of the really great things, I think, about his personality. You know, unlike some of these, you know, big egoed technology gurus or celebrities, and there are many who aren't, but there's some who are, and he was one of those people that really felt like he could learn from others. You know, oftentimes, as I was told, he was the smartest guy in the room, and yet he knew that building a team, probably from his Army experience, he served in the Israeli Army, was critical to any operation, whether it be business or in life. And so he really built this team around him of people who believed in what he was doing but also had a passion for it. And that was what everybody who knew him said, was that he just walked in the room and, even at this young age of 25, 26, 27, created an aura of excitement and, you know, passion and belief in the potential of what they were proposing, which was at the time a pretty audacious idea. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to speed up the internet. Ha ha, you know? Well, and they did. They did it.
As I mentioned earlier, that it does end tragically. According to all of the signs, it's he was the first person to die in the 9/11 event. And we are out of time, Molly. But so we quickly need to tell people how to find this book. It's just an inspiring book, no matter whether you like the math part of it or not. So do we find
you.
It?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can find it on any major bookseller, so Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, but any title is No Better Time, Danny Lewin, the Genius Who Transformed the Internet. And I also have a website that anybody can log on to, which has a lot of information about the book and how to connect to it on Facebook, which is www.mollyknightraskin.com.
All right. Thank you so much, Molly, for visiting with us about the book No Better Time.
And thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm, until next time, here's a thought from Albert Einstein. We can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them.